There was a survey carried out just a couple of years ago in the UK, really significant survey actually, and it was a survey that was carried out amongst Christians, people who had faith in Jesus Christ, and people who didn't have any faith in Jesus Christ, didn't connect in with the gospel of Jesus at all. And that survey found out some really, really interesting information. It found out that almost two-thirds of Christian adults said that they had spoken to a friend or someone who didn't know anything about Jesus. They had spoken to them about Jesus in the last month. That's incredible, isn't it? Two-thirds of adults. It said actually for children, young people up to about the age of 19, 20, that percentage actually went up to 70% of young people spoke to their friends about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Really, we beat ourselves up sometimes, but that's quite amazing. A survey also said that about half of Christians felt it was their duty to share their faith. They had an obligation to share their faith. But also, there was a third of them that said they didn't know what to say. Anybody been in that boat? They didn't know what to say. And a third of them said that there was somebody else who they knew would be better having that conversation than them. Anybody else felt that way as well? Amazingly, when the survey asked some questions of people who were not yet Christians, people who didn't know Jesus as their Savior yet, these were the results. About one in every five adult non-Christians said that they, if their friends spoke to them about Jesus, they were open to hear more about Jesus or to experience more of Jesus. One in five. Of those one in five, there was roughly about one in five of them that turned around and said, if their friends spoke to them about Jesus, they would want to know more and they would probably want to become a Christian like they were. Isn't that amazing? I want you to do something for me. The rows in the. So when I'm talking about a row, I'm talking about right the whole way across here and the whole way across there. Could about four of you stand up in each row? I'm not going to ask you to do anything more than that. About four people on each row. Three to four people on each row. So very, very roughly, folks, I guess this morning there's about 130, 140 people here this morning. Roughly in 130 or 140 people, these are the number of people who want to find out more about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Have a look around. Have a look around. There are so many people in this church standing, and that's the same outside these walls. There are more people who want to know about Jesus than you ever imagine or ever think. Have a sit. And we could tell you that for those of us like John and Mark and different ones who go out in the streets in Newcastle, we're amazed how many people want to have conversations about Jesus. Isn't that right? They want to find out more about him. Part of our vision for our church, we spoke a bit about it about 2 weeks ago. Part of our vision for our church is this. I shared it with the elders in June, and we've talked about it and tried to think about it and tried to think how this works out. But one of the things I believe is so important for this church is that we know the power of the gospel. Anybody want to say amen to that? We know the power of the gospel of Jesus to change lives and to reconcile us to God. But also, we are committed to bring this hope to our borough that we live in, but also to further afield. We want to see the gospel spread through the whole world. That's our vision. Paul said this in Romans 1 verse 16. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. The gospel is the power of God. It's the power of God. We have no idea how powerful the gospel is. Paul also says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4, He says, my message and my preaching are not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. When the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit turns up and he does powerful things. He heals people. He saves people. He turns their lives around because there is power in the gospel. There is power in the word of God. Do you know in this word, it is the very spoken words of God. Anybody else believe that? It's the words of God. And do you know when he spoke in Genesis, do you know what happened when he spoke in Genesis? Things happened. Things happened that were amazing things that happened. And do you know what happens when God speaks today, when his word is let loose today? Things happen. Things happen. We just need to unleash it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is God's plan for this planet. He has no plan B. It is his plan, and his plans are never thwarted. I believe that God has revealed this powerful gospel to many of us here. If the gospel of Jesus Christ has been revealed to you, can you stick your hand up in the air, please? He has revealed a powerful gospel to us. And you, I could ask many of you to come forward and your lives would be a demonstration of how powerful the gospel is, what Jesus has brought you from to what he's brought you to. And none of us are perfect, are we? I'm probably as close as any of you. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But by the grace of God, we're not what we used to be. We're not what we used to be because the gospel is powerful and it changes lives. But you know what? With much knowledge and with much experience comes much responsibility as well. And we have got a responsibility. If the gospel has touched our lives, we have a responsibility to share that gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? You can say it a little bit louder. First thing about the gospel is this. The gospel is God's plan and solution for this world. You know, the Bible is known by many different names. It's known as the Word of God. It's called his revelation to man. Some people call the Bible God's love letter to humanity. It's called his revelation to us. People call it many, many things. But there's one thing about this word. There's one thing about this book. There is not a word in this book that will falter or fail or not achieve the purpose that God has sent out to do. This is what it says in Isaiah 55, verse 11. It says, so is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for what I have sent it. Every word of God has got a purpose. And that purpose will be accomplished by God's word because everything in God is yes and amen. And the whole of the Bible is the story of the gospel. We used to talk, some of the older people here maybe remember this, I remember it, but people used to come and they used to preach about the scarlet thread that ran the whole way through the gospel of the Bible. The story of God's redemption, and it wove its way through every chapter and every passage in the Bible, and it's so true. The gospel is in every chapter of the Bible. But let me share with you essentially what the gospel is broken down into. First of all, the gospel declares that we have a broken relationship with God because of disobedience or sin. And the destiny for all of us because of that broken relationship, because of sin in our life, our destiny is death. That's what it says. Now, that's not a very popular message today because people don't like being told they're wrong today. We all like to be told we're right. But the Bible is basically saying if you are not in relationship with Jesus Christ, life is hopeless. It's very interesting because there was a survey just published in the last couple of weeks, which was a survey of our young people in the UK, not Christian young people, just young people generally in the UK. And the survey said that we are living in the most hopeless generation that ever was, because our young people feel as if there is no purpose to life, no point to life, and they feel like giving up. It's no wonder that suicide rates are on the increase, because there is no purpose for life, because God has been taken out of schools, he's been taken out of communities, he's been taken out of everything else, and when you take God out, there's no point in anything else. The second thing about the gospel is that God's love for humanity, for me and for you, is unfailing, and it is never-ending, and it is boundless, and it is free. Thank you, Irene, the only Pentecostal in the whole church. If you can't say praise the Lord to God's love is unfailing, never-ending, and boundless and free, there's something wrong with you. And it is, but that is in spite of our unfaithfulness. How many of us have let God down? It's in spite of our apathy. How many of us have been apathetic at times? It is in spite of everything that's wrong with us and our insensitivity and our attitude towards God at times. God's love still never fails. You know, when I look at myself, I wonder why God would love me. Anybody else feel the same? I wonder why God would love me. But his love is boundless and free. And his love is tied up with that image of the cross. You know, the final thing about the gospel is this, and I know the gospel could be broken down into much more parts than what I'm sharing today, but the final part of the gospel is this, that we are hopeless, that God's love is boundless, but God sent his son as a ransom for the salvation of everyone who chooses to accept and follow him. There was no way. We were hopeless. We were in despair. Our destiny was death. But God loved us so much that he made a way through Jesus Christ. Before Jesus was ever crucified, he said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He said that he was the resurrection. He is our Savior. And if you remember just a couple of weeks ago when I talked about our vision for the church, that we would be a cornerstone, one of the facets of the cornerstone is that we would know that Jesus is the Savior. That's the foundational starting point for anything. That we would know him as the Savior. In him is life and life abundant. You know, people find it so hard today to be, that word sin is not a popular word. We don't like to be told we're wrong. We maybe have got things that need to be adapted or changed in our life, or it's someone else's fault, or it's our parents' fault, or it's the environment we grew up in fault, but it's none of it's our fault, is it? That seems to be the society that we've grown up in, is it's never my fault, it's always something else or somebody else's fault. But I want to tell you today that sin is true. We have all got at the core of our being a rebellious nature that shakes its fist at God. My pastor in my church in Northern Ireland, he is an astronomer. He's got a telescope. He goes out in the middle of the night and he looks at the stars. And he's really into it in a big way. And I spoke to him about it one time, because I would be up for looking at the stars if I could peek out my bedroom window and then go back to bed again 5 minutes later. And he says to me, he says, it's no good. It's no good. So if you look out your bedroom window, if you look out from Silverdale, you look out from Newcastle, you'll only see maybe 10%, maybe 20% of what's in the stars in the sky. To see the stars in all their fullest glory, you need to go to the darkest place. You know, the gospel shines brightest when we see ourselves in the darkest place. when we really realize that no matter how good we have tried to be, we are nothing but sinners saved by the grace of God. The gospel shines brightest in the darkest place. You know, there's many reasons why I don't share the gospel. I'm not going to talk about you. You fit in where you want in these statements, but there's reasons why I don't share the gospel. Sometimes I don't share the gospel because I think no one will listen to me. Does that resonate with anyone? Sometimes, to be honest with you, I preach here in church and think no one's listening to me. I think no one's going to listen to me. Sometimes I don't share the gospel because I feel as if I don't have enough of the Spirit of God in me. If it was someone else who was really filled with the Spirit of God, someone else who's seen the signs and the wonders and the miracles and seen all of that stuff, maybe they would have the impact, but I don't have it because I'm just me. Do you know the Old Testament shares a story about a prophet? And that prophet, the story's in Numbers 22, and that prophet was preached to by a donkey. I'm not saying that any of you are donkeys, but if the cap fits, if God can use a donkey, God can use Edwin. It's not about how I feel. It's not about how much I feel that the Spirit is in me. Do you know what? It doesn't matter if I go to my dying day, I will still not feel as if I don't have enough of the Spirit of God in me. It's something I strive for, something I seek day in, day out. It's just more of His presence, more of Him. But it can't be a stopping point for me to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I feel I don't share the gospel of Jesus Christ because I see people on the TV like Reinhard Bonnke and all these guys, and they've got thousands of people, and people are being healed, and people are being set free all around the place. And I don't see that the same in my ministry as I see in their ministry. But you know what I've begun to discover is this. My responsibility is to share the word of God. Do you know whose responsibility the signs and wonders are? That's God's responsibility. I can't make them happen, and if I try and make them happen, do you know what? It'll only blow up in my face. My responsibility is just to share the word of God. And that's all I can do, and that's all I can be faithful in, is sharing the word of God. Sometimes people say to me, why is there not more of a move of the Holy Spirit in the church? And you know what? I crave for that. I desire that as much as any other person. But ultimately, I've come to the conclusion of this. That is not my responsibility. That's God's responsibility. All I can do is be faithful and seek His face and serve Him. This gospel we have is amazingly powerful. Amen. It's amazingly powerful because this gospel we have has the power to change people's lives completely. We are confronted with story after story, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, of the amazing saving power of God. You know, I think it was earlier on this year that Pastor Peter in the Bible study on Wednesday night looked at a character called Jonah. And Jonah was probably the least successful preacher there ever was on the planet. Because Jonah didn't want to preach. He didn't want to do it. He turned around and did it really reluctantly, and he done it begrudgingly. And when he went to the city of Nineveh, and these Ninevites were evil, nasty people. And when he went to the city of Nineveh, he basically turned around and said, do you know what? You need to repent. If you don't repent, God's going to kill you. I'm off now. Not the most inspirational sermon in the world. Not the most on fire sermon in the world. Not the most dynamic sermon in the world. But God used it to change the Ninevites. God changes people who the world has given up on. There's a story in Luke's gospel of a little man who carried an awful lot of power and an awful lot of authority. This little man was called Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was a tax collector, but more than that, he was a collaborator. He was a nasty piece of work. And Jesus meets with Zacchaeus. And this greedy, self-seeking man makes this statement after an encounter with Jesus Christ. He says, "Lord, look, Lord, and here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." God took a nasty piece of work and turned his life around. What about the Samaritan woman? The woman who was the least successful person in the Bible at having relationships. She put men through her fingers like they were confetti. And yet Jesus comes and meets with her, changes her life, and she turns around, she goes back to her own community and says, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." Could this man be the Messiah? What about the Samaritan community? The Samaritans, the people who had given up on the true gospel, had chosen their own gospel, decided to go their own way, deserted the Jewish teaching. And when this woman turned around and spoke to them, they came to Jesus. And it says, because of his words, many more became believers. The gospel is powerful. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I've got, I think it's Amazon Prime. Anybody got Amazon Prime and you can watch the different movies and stuff on it? And I had it, and I seen something on it that I haven't seen in years, because when I was at school, they used to take us a couple of times a year and they would show us a movie on a proper projector in the school assembly hall. And I remember one year they showed us a movie called The Cross and the Switchblade. Anybody seen that movie? Yeah, it's a great movie. If you're really into flares, it's a really good movie. And big afro hairstyles, it's a really good movie if you're into that. Crossing the Switchblade. I would highly recommend that everyone in the church reads the book. It's the most amazing book of the story of a young man called David Wilkerson who felt that God, he was a country preacher, but he felt God had called him to go into inner city New York to minister to the gangs in New York in the midst of all the drug abuse and the violence that was going on. And to be honest with you, he was there probably half an hour and somebody had stole the wheels off his car and taking the shoes off his feet, or not the feet off his shoe, the shoes off his feet, not the feet off his shoe, the feet, shoes off his feet. So he was completely ripped off within about half an hour of being there. But the Lord used him mightily. And what I watched on Amazon Prime was the story of a guy called Nicky Cruz, who's one of the main characters in the story of The Cross and the Switchblade. And Nicky Cruz was one of the main gang leaders, and he was a warlord in a gang called the Mau Maus. And he went up and he approached David Wilkerson, and he kept going into his face and saying, "Preacher, don't talk to me like that." And he turned around and he pulled out his switchblade, his knife. And David Wilkerson turned around and he said these famous words in the book. He says, "Nicky, if you were to cut me up into pieces, every single piece would shout out that Jesus loves you." You know, Nicky Cruz's life was completely changed. From a life of drug addiction, a life of violence, a life of being a gang member in the center of New York. In the video I watched just a few weeks ago, it was Nicky Cruz, who's now in his 80s, going around the world and into the inner cities and still preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. People's lives changed, totally changed. We have a young man who gave his testimony a few weeks ago, John Nelson, and he could turn around and say, "My life's been totally changed by the power of God, hasn't it? Totally changed." We've got people who are meeting this morning in our Chinese church, Min and Chin, who were brought up in atheist China and knew nothing about God, and yet we all, God has changed their lives. We have people who are meeting in the Indian church up in Nutton, one guy who was a Hindu priest, but God spoke to him in a dream, and he became a Christian, and his life has totally changed. The gospel has the power to change lives. Totally change lives. I wonder how many Nicky Cruises there are up in Newcastle that we haven't bumped into yet. I wonder how many more John Nelsons there are in Newcastle that we haven't bumped into yet. How many Mins and Chins there are in Newcastle and Stoke that we haven't bumped into yet. How many Vorans that there are from the Indian church that we haven't bumped into yet, that just the gospel will break in and change their life. The gospel is powerful. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. You know, the final thing I want to share about the gospel of this gospel is this: that no one or nothing can hold back the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No one or nothing can hold back the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, people have tried through history to hold it back. There's been human resistance through history. And you know, this is what it says in Acts chapter 11, verse 19. It said, "Now those who had been scattered by persecution in connection with Stephen as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews." At the very start of the church, persecution came to try and stop the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel, from spreading, and they had zero success. And you know, as I look at the TV, as I watch the news, our society today seems to be hell-bent on stopping the gospel. It seems to be opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It wants to suppress it. It wants to stop it from spreading. It wants to silence it. But the power of the gospel will not be stopped. Do you know, there was a time in communist China under Chairman Mao where he tried to eradicate the gospel. And when the bamboo curtain came down and people went into China, do you know what they discovered? The Chinese church is the largest church in the world. And you know, in China, at the minute, they're trying to suppress the gospel again. I just seen yesterday a picture of a church they had called to, a church that was probably maybe 10 times the size of this church. And the authorities came in and they asked the congregation to step outside. And while they stepped outside, they pulled the church down. But they will not stop the spread of the gospel. They will not stop the spread of the gospel. There's a Chinese philosopher, a French philosopher called Voltaire. Anybody heard of Voltaire, the philosopher? Famous man, famous atheist man. And Voltaire said these words in the 1800s. Voltaire said, 100 years from my death, the Bible will be a museum piece. 100 years after Voltaire's death, Voltaire's house was bought by the Bible Society of France to print Bibles. You will not suppress the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no force in heaven or earth or hell that's capable of suppressing. There's only one way that we can suppress the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's by not preaching it, by not sharing it. This is what Paul says in Romans 10, verse 14. He says, "How then can they call on one they have not believed in? How can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them?" The only way to suppress the gospel is for us to not share the gospel. And guys, I have to tell you today, there are some nations around the world where persecution breaks out if you try to share the gospel. I have a friend who's gone out to Afghanistan at the minute. He's taken Bibles out to Afghanistan. He's working with some Afghan Christians. And last month, one of his workers was beheaded because he was found to have a Bible. We do not live in that nation. We live in a nation where it is free. We talk about persecution, but it's not really persecution. We have freedom to share the gospel. And you know what? What's even more amazing? We've got the freedom to share the gospel with Afghanis here in Stoke. Pakistanis here in Stoke. Saudi Arabians here in Stoke. People that the gospel is closed completely to. And we have the opportunity to share it with them here. In my experience, the reason why we don't share the gospel is not because we're not allowed to. It's because we're constrained by what goes on in here. We think that our friends will turn against us. We think that we will be rejected. We think that people won't listen. But can I just tell you today, that all we are called to do is share the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bring about conversion. And what people do with the gospel is entirely up to them. All we are called is to share it. To share it. And to share our testimony and to share what God is doing in our lives. We need to be on the look for opportunities to talk and to share. And you know what? I'm not talking about doing it in some crazy, wacky way. There are some Christians that share the gospel. I'm a pastor and they would put me off the gospel the way they share it. There are opportunities, guys. Who knows the person who you will come into contact this week, and that person may be needing just something from God. Some people whose lives are broken, some people who are facing operations, some people who are facing circumstances in their life that they don't know a way through, and you can just turn around and say, do you mind if I pray with you in Jesus' name that Jesus will break it? Pastor Williams was sharing with me, and no doubt he'll share with you if you speak to him, about a Muslim person who came to the house and they just had an opportunity to pray, and they're still talking about it. It doesn't have to be wacky. It just has to be sincere and from the heart. We have opportunities every day of our life. We have opportunities with people with broken relationships. We have opportunities with people who are struggling with their children and their teenagers. We have opportunities with people who have facing life and death situations. We have opportunities with people suffering terminal cancer. We have opportunities to talk to them about Jesus and pray with them. The problem that we have is not new. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. Praise God. Praise God, the harvest is plentiful. 20% of people are ready to respond. The harvest is plentiful. Isn't that amazing? The harvest is plentiful. But then he goes on a bit because his problem is the same as my problem, as it was Pastor Williams' problem, as it was for every minister that's walked through this church door. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are. And he says, pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest field. There's roughly about 7.2 billion people on the planet at the minute. I don't know how many that looks like, but I think it's bigger than Parkside. 7.2 billion. 3 billion of those people have heard the gospel. So that's 4.2 billion people have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you that used to be that 4.2 billion were in places like Asia and Africa and South America. But today, some of that 4.2 billion are in Bath Road, Park Road. Some of them are living in the center of Newcastle. Some of them are in Trent Vale. Some of them are in Stoke. Because we live in a generation where the gospel is not being shared anymore. And some people just don't know it. Do you know what my heart, folks, is? And maybe this is a crazy dream I have. But my heart is that we would get the gospel into every home in Newcastle. There's 160,000 people who live in Newcastle Borough. 160,000 people who live in Newcastle Borough. I reckon, I haven't done any statistical analysis in this year, but I reckon that's probably going to be somewhere between 60 and 80,000 homes, roughly 60 and 80,000 homes. If we took 5 years and we did 10,000 homes a year to get the gospel out to in some way, you know, in 5 years, we would have covered this whole borough. We could have given everybody the gospel in some form. And you know, as I said earlier on, it's not our responsibility what they do with it. That's between them and God. But we could have given them the gospel in a magazine, a tract, a video. They could watch our church online. We could go door to door. We could go on the streets. We could do something else. Who knows what we could do? But if we don't have that dream to do it, no one else is going to do it. Some of you who are here today, some of you are gifted evangelists and you don't know it yet. You don't know it yet. You just need the opportunity to go out and start evangelizing. Some of you are the furthest from a gifted evangelist that it's ever going to be, ever known on earth. And that's fine as well. But some of you, God has given you the gift of generosity where you could turn around and you could pay for 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 magazines that we could go and give out to people on the streets. Some of you, God has given you an amazing intercessory ministry where you can go and pray that God will send people out into the fields, that God will move in this nation again. And that's what God has given you to do. But we have to be focused because we can do this. We can do this. We can reach this town for Jesus. You know, when we produce the magazine that we've been given out once a quarter, £2,000 roughly pays for about 5,000 magazines. You know why we do 5,000? Anybody know why we do 5,000 magazines? Anybody know? Because we can't afford any more. That's the honest truth. We can't afford any more. If we had the money, we could do 20,000. We could do 30,000. If we had a few more volunteers, we could give them all out. What I'm saying is this, that I believe that God has given us a responsibility. Because he has given us the gospel. He's given us an amazing opportunity because we live in a free society. And you know what? He's given us an amazing dream that we can do this. But some of us just need to step up. We need to step up. And if we step up and see, we can see it. You know, the vision I believe that God has given us for this church is big and it's scary. And you know what? It can fail. I'm going to be honest with you. It can fail. But I'm just the type of person that, you know, I was the type of person at school. It didn't matter who the bully was. I would have stood up to them. You know what? And I didn't really care. If he knocked me in the back, he knocked me in the back. But I had a good go at getting back up again. because I would rather have tried and failed than never have tried at all. And you know, that's the same for us now, because we would be better to try and fail and just sit and do nothing. Who knows? When we try in God's strength under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who knows what could happen? Who knows what could happen? Can you imagine if a quarter of 160,000 people had a conversation with us about Jesus? That's 40,000 conversations. Can you imagine if out of that 40,000 people, that according to the statistics, a quarter of them responded to the gospel? That's 10,000 new Christians. And to be perfectly honest with you, when it gets to that stage, I couldn't care less if they came here, went to the Methodist, went to the Anglican, went wherever they want, as long as it's a Bible-believing church, because this is about the kingdom of God. But we need a dream. We need a focus. We need something to do. We need to realize that the gospel is the power of God. And as a church, we need to unleash the power of God. It's the gospel that will change lives. It's the gospel that will turn this nation around. Do you know what, guys? Brexit is the biggest red herring that there is out there. It doesn't matter whether we're in, out, shake, all about what we do, because God will have his way. It's the biggest red herring. There's no point in stressing about it, worrying about it, getting uptight about it. You know, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I honestly think that the vote in Brexit will be still happening the day that Christ returns. By that stage, Christ will return in the clouds and he'll just take us out of Europe like that, because we'll all be caught up to meet him in the sky. It's the biggest red herring. It's a bigger issue for us, is that we need the gospel to be back in this nation again. That will change lives. That will turn stuff around. So we're going to pray this morning. Just want to close your eyes and I don't know if you're here this morning and you've never, ever responded to the gospel. I don't know if you're here this morning and you have never really responded to the gospel in the way I've talked about this morning. Maybe you thought that you were born in a Christian nation. Maybe you thought because your parents were Christians, you were a Christian. Maybe you thought because you went to church, you were a Christian. It's not about any of those things. It's about personally accepting Jesus as your Savior. It's about asking him to come into your life. It's about praying. It doesn't have to be an elaborate prayer. It just needs to be a prayer to say that I'm a sinner and I need you to come and change my life. If that's you this morning, I'm just going to give you 30 seconds to respond to the gospel this morning. If that's you, and you want us to pray for you, to lead you to Christ this morning, just slip your hand really quickly in the air, put it back down again. If that's not you this morning, then that's fine. We're just going to move on. Is there anyone who wants to respond to the gospel this morning, to give their life to Jesus? Thank you. Anyone else? Jesus. Just straight after the service, we will talk with you and we'll just pray with you and give you some information. But I just want to ask another question this morning. I have talked this morning about a big, big vision for reaching our community. And I just want to ask this morning, is there anyone who who's prepared to go on this journey with us. In whatever way you can, put your hand up in there. If you're prepared to go on this journey with us, just to reach this borough for Jesus, to reach this town for Jesus, whether it's praying, whether it's giving, whether it's evangelizing, put your hand up in the air. Just keep your hand up in the air if you're prepared to go on this journey with us this morning, because we believe that God is the answer, that Jesus is the answer. Praise God for everyone who's raised their hand. If there's any more who want to raise their hand, please raise their hand. I want to pray for you this morning. Father, we are here this morning. And you know what, Lord? We are not perfect Christians. We don't have all the giftings and abilities. And sometimes, Lord, we just bumble through things. And we recognize that. But Lord, I pray for each one of these people, Lord God, who has raised their hand this morning. Father, will you get? Father, I even pray for them today in confirmation to their response this morning. Father, will you give them an idiot-proof conversation to have this week? Someone who will come up to them and will blatantly ask them, "Can you tell me about Jesus?" Give them that opportunity this week. Father, we give you glory. We give you praise. And we worship you this morning.